pray before we read. Lord God, and we ask now for your blessing upon the reading of your word. Pray that you would open our ears and hearts to what is good and true and delightful, pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to read and understand. Pray that your spirit would meet with us now and teach us for Jesus' sake. Amen. So today is the day they call a Palm Sunday, or a Jesus triumphal entry. Perhaps your Bible says that at the beginning of Matthew chapter 21. We're just going to take a couple of weeks away from our study in Matthew that we've been doing to consider the events of what they call Holy Week and see what the Lord has for us regarding this very fascinating day in the life of our Savior when he arrived in Jerusalem. I just want to start, I'm sure most of you have heard the story before, so I do want to kind of start in a little bit in the middle of it, and it's verse 7, chapter 21 and verse 7, and we'll read down to 16. It says, they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them, and they set him on them, on their clothes. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitudes said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in his temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! They were indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes. Have you never read, Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Amen. That is the first passage. The other one, if you'll flip over to Luke chapter 19, Luke's account of the same day. Luke 19 and verse 37. Read a couple of verses from there as well. Verse 37 says, Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. This is a thrilling scene. Okay, consider the people. Look at them. They are cheering and waving and rejoicing and praising God, and they're calling out, Blessed is he. Hey, there is uncontainable excitement on this day. Jesus is being honored. He is being honored by this crowd. He is being received by them, being welcomed. He's being hailed. Okay, hail to the King. There's gladness and honor and praise. Now, my friends, the scriptures say the crowds received him this way because it seemed as if the kingdom of God was going to appear right then. Here is the miracle worker, the gracious teacher, the Prince of Peace, the prophet, the Son of David, he says, the anointed one of God, the Messiah, the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. Here he is riding into the capital city. And really, what's to stop him from today, right that day, taking up his throne and commencing the reign of peace, the promised age of righteousness? Okay, clearly this man has God on his side. And so the people have very great reason to be excited. And imagine being in the crowd. Your mind must have been going crazy with excitement about what's going to happen next. What's going to happen when he gets into the city? What will life be like 5 days from now? Okay. Now the thing is, and Jesus knows it full well, that this particular week is not going to turn out the way that most of the people expect it to, or I would say all of the people expect it to. Jesus knows, and he's been telling his disciples, actually, that the Son of Man must give his life and die and be raised again. Okay? Those things must come. Such things must come. And Jesus, in his heart of hearts, he knows that God has even bigger plans than what these people are expecting at this point. Okay, plans to save a people for himself from every tribe and nation and tongue across the whole globe. Jesus knows he must go to the cross as a sin offering, as a ransom payment for the sins of those he came to save. He knows that the penalty of the law has to be exacted somehow. God's justice has to be satisfied before his salvation can actually go forth. That being said, it is right and fitting that the crowd receives him in this way, okay, with rejoicing and with honor and indeed with worship. Okay, they don't know the secret mind of God. They don't know about the plan for the taking away of sin. They're not aware of the fact that the things that will come during this week are really actually necessary. Even though they're awful, they are necessary and righteous. They don't know that what God has planned through the cross is actually going to be even more to the praise of the glory of his grace than what they think is going on. Okay? They don't know that through the events of this week, death will be conquered. Sin will be solved. The devil will be crushed. The very righteousness of God will be unlocked from heaven to come down on whosoever will, who wants to come. Whoever will believe in the name of Jesus Christ will be justified because of the events to come in this week. Those things are still shrouded in the mind of God, I said, but this much they do know. They do know that God is to be glorified in his chosen one. They do know that God will save. They do know that he will vanquish the evil and rescue the righteous. And so no wonder they're overjoyed, okay? Because as far as they can tell, the time for that has come and it's here today. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, friends, this is worship. Worthy is the King. Now, we know even better than they knew. Okay, we know that the day is still coming when Jesus will ride in again, not on a donkey, but on a white horse. Amen. Not meek and lowly, but as conqueror. And that time it will be to an even greater chorus of intense rejoicing than this day. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come, because you have taken up your great power and have begun to reign. And the time for your wrath has now come, for the judging of the dead, for the rewarding of your servants, the prophets, both small and great, the saints, those who fear your name, and for the destruction of those who destroy the earth. Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. True and righteous are his judgments. Amen. Hallelujah! Praise our God, all his servants, small and great, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when we look upon his face. the one who saved us by his grace. Amen. Okay, dear friends, we must learn to worship. Worship the Father. Worship his Son. We assemble here in this room in the knowledge that Christ our Lord, the Lamb of God, was slain for us, and he is risen, and he is coming again. Let us eagerly anticipate the return of the King, the liberation of creation, the lifting of the curse that lies so heavily upon us, the vengeance of our God. Worthy is the Holy One. Let us learn to worship him as we assemble week by week, as we wait for him, as we anticipate his return, as we yearn for that day, and as we pray, and as we fight the good fight and stand firm against the devil, and as we expect the Lord God to come and meditate, let us meditate on the glories to come. I think it is because this is a scheduled thing. It's because we come week by week that sometimes it becomes a routine. It's because we have an appointment Sunday morning, as it were, a regular spot on the calendar for this, that we fall into a rut. God forbid. God forbid that our worship of him, the glorious creator, become blah, that it become routine, become gray, that it becomes a box for us to check, an appointment on the calendar, okay, an obligation for us to perform. We serve a wonderful God, and it is fitting and right for us to open our mouths and praise him. Ascribe to the Lord God majesty and dominion and power and praise, and give to his Son honor and glory and thanks and love, the love of the bottom of our hearts. Give of your best to the Master. Come into this house, his house, with gladness and with hope and with anticipation and with readiness. Sing to him, Christians. Sing songs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow your heads with reverence and then lift up your face and open your mouth and sing praise. Hold up your hands at least once in a while and bless the Lord. Welcome him into our midst. Open up your ears and receive his word. Open up your hearts and be filled with his Spirit. We read this morning, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless him and then be blessed. Worshippers are what the Father is seeking. Worshippers are what the Father is seeking. Not just students, not just attendees. Not just observers. Worshippers is what the Father is seeking, who will worship him in spirit and in truth. If you don't worship him, who will? The mute creation. The rocks will have to open their mouths and praise. So what is worship? What is worship? First, it is glorifying God and his Son, Jesus Christ. It is glorifying God and his Son, Jesus Christ. It is acknowledging with your heart and with your voice that the Father and the Son are worthy of our praise. Okay, worthy and worship, those two words, they're related. Okay, the word worthy, the word worship. God is worthy to be praised. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Blessed. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now we see in Revelation, we see the heavenly example of worship. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9 says this, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their thrones before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and have their being. So he is worthy as the creator. A couple of chapters later, we see it's a Revelation 7. And we see the hosts of the redeemed saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And it says, all the angels stood around the throne with the elders and the four creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is worthy to be blessed by the words of our lips. Don't keep your mouths closed just because you can't see him. Just because he is not visible doesn't mean he is not here. It doesn't mean we're not in his presence. It doesn't mean he doesn't see us. We do come into his presence when we come into this place. We do ask him to meet with us, and we truly believe that that is what he does, that the God of heaven, the God of creation, comes and meets with us because we who are his children by faith in Christ, we know that he abides in our hearts. We know that where just even just a few are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And so we ought to be here in reverence and in awe and in gladness because he loved us. He saved us. He is near us to help us. He is a healer. He restoreth my soul, the psalm says. He restores my soul. He's compassionate. He is gracious. We owe him our worship. And you see, we don't have to study in order to do this. We don't have to be trained to praise, do we? All it takes is a simple, childlike faith, praising God. Hey, look again at the scriptures about Palm Sunday. Children, children, haven't you ever read, Jesus says. What a rebuke. Haven't you ever read Psalm 8? Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have perfected praise. O Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name in all of creation. When I consider the heavens and the stars and the sun and the moon, just the work of your fingertips. When I look at your handiwork and I think, what is man? Who am I? Who am I that you care for me? And yet you have promised to set me over the work of your hands. You have promised me a place in your kingdom and an inheritance, a place in your bosom. You have blessed me far beyond my asking. How glorious thy name is, O Lord. When we come together, brothers and sisters, should we not be like these little children, blessing the Lord Jesus for his mighty works, welcoming him into our midst, welcoming him into our town, welcoming him into our homes, welcoming him into our building, being thrilled to have him here in our presence. We should enter with gladness and with rejoicing. Don't we have even more reason than these children did to praise him and to be glad? Because now we know he is not only worthy in and of himself, in the perfections of his person, but now, further, he has reconciled us to God by his blood. The scripture says that we who were once his enemies, God's enemies, we were alienated in our minds by the wicked works which we do. Yet now Christ has reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death to present us holy, to present us blameless, to present us above reproach in the sight of God. And having purged our sins, blessed be his name, having purged our sins, he is now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, far superior even to the angels. All God's angels worship him. They say, holy, holy, holy. They say, worthy is the Lamb, for you were slain, and you have redeemed men to God by your blood. Christians, if it's not going to be you, who's it going to be? What else is worship? What else is worship? Worship is what is written in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, where Paul tells the church this. He says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. Our music should be energetic and it should be expressive. Our singing should be with vigor, should be with gusto. Here we have a book with 800 and some songs to the Lord in it. Okay, and of course, this isn't all there are there? Okay, there are hundreds more of whatever kind of style of music you like, ways to sing to the Lord. Take what you like. More music has been written to Jesus Christ and to God the Father than you could probably sing in a lifetime. And it should be that way because he is worthy. And music is to be part of our redeemed life. It is a marvelous, marvelous gift from God, uniquely human. It is a chief vehicle by which mankind communicates praise to his maker. Okay? We share the gift of singing with the angels. And see the scripture, it's Ephesians 5:18, it says, addressing one another with songs and hymns. Okay? Music is how we communicate our praise. That's why the psalms are set to music. That's why so many of them say, sing to the Lord a new song. Okay? Music is how the human heart expresses its emotions, its yearnings, its needs, its joys, its thoughts. Okay, you can use it to, do you want to talk to somebody about Jesus, but you don't know how to get started? Well, how about if you just go through your week whistling a hymn? How about if you walk down the street singing a song to yourself? It's not so hard to learn. You must be born again. Okay, sooner or later, somebody says, oh, you're always singing that. Yeah, well, let me tell you why. I serve a risen Savior. You sing that one, right? Surely you have favorites. You probably have 10 favorites at least. Okay, why are they your favorites? Explain this to people. Explain it to one another. That's what he says, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing them. Sing them during your week, okay? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know? Okay, sing them. Come up here and share a musical offering, okay? Bless the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Bless his holy name. Bless your brothers and sisters with a song of praise or joy or petition. Confess Jesus with your mouth. That's what the scripture says. Confess him with your mouth. Address one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And he goes on to say, and giving thanks always and for everything. Don't we have so much, so many blessings to count for his compassion, for a lesson learned, for children, for parents, for friends, for a chance to be useful, for the new birth, for our health, for food, for coffee, everything that comes into our lives, a good thing from the Heavenly Father. Give thanks always for everything. That's worship. And our Lord is worthy of worship, and he is seeking worshipers. He is seeking worshipers. When is a man most blessed? It is when he is doing God's will. And what is God's will? It is that man and God should be in fellowship. Sing the praises of your Lord. Love the Lord God with all your heart and don't keep it bottled up. Let others know that you do love him and it will be a pleasing aroma to the Lord God, and the fragrance of worship, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What else is worship? Worship is to do, as the scripture says, to do whatever you do heartily as to the Lord, okay? Doing it because you know that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Okay? Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, because you know that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Everything we do should be done with excellence. Not half-heartedly, not thrown together at the last minute, not flying by the seat of your pants, okay? Paul says you are serving the Lord Christ. Plan, pray, practice. And then do the work diligently. Everything that you're going to do. If you're going to take on a ministry, Do it with all your heart. Do it to the glory of God, whether that is in the kitchen, whether that is teaching a Sunday school class, somebody asks you to lead a devotion, anything. You're going to be do some yard work, be on a committee, something like that. If you have a support group, you have an opportunity to give. Do it heartily as to the Lord. That's worship. Scripture says, in view of God's mercy toward you, and for that we bless his name, for his mercy. In view of that mercy, Paul says, offer yourselves a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. That is your reasonable act of worship, your act of worship. Honor the Lord God by doing whatever you do for his pleasure, for his glory. Again, think of the way the crowd welcomed him on Palm Sunday. Think ahead to the happiness with which we will receive him when he comes. He is worthy of our very best. He is worthy of our utmost. One last thing. Notice in the Palm Sunday passages who was worshiping and who wasn't. There's a place earlier in Matthew where Jesus was, in chapter 11, Jesus is praying aloud. He says this. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Little children. Okay, now obviously the crowd is adults and children, but they shared alike in their childlike praise. And that is what the Lord wants in the worshipers that he seeks, a childlike heart, a heart full of wonder and thanksgiving. Okay? Assuredly, I tell you, Jesus says, that unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. For of such is the kingdom of God. Understand that verse? Of such is the kingdom, meaning to those who are like this, the kingdom of God belongs, and to no others. Of such is the kingdom of God. Those who are like this worship God. They worship his Son with a glad and pure and good heart. Who is not worshiping? Who is not glad about all this? Who is not rejoicing? You know who. Men whose hearts are in the doldrums. Teacher, tell your people to quiet down now. Okay? Elsewhere in Matthew, and this is chapter 13, Jesus says a very sobering thing about these same people, okay, who are religious indeed, and yet their understanding is darkened and there is a chill upon their souls. They resist the Holy Spirit. He says, indeed, you hear, but you never understand. Indeed, you see, but you don't perceive. He said, for your hearts have grown dull, and with their ears they barely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and they would turn, and I would heal them. Okay, they're in church, you see, but there is no life. Paul also has something to say about people who don't praise God in Romans chapter 1. He says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. They did not glorify him as God, nor were they... You remember that part in Romans 1? You know what he says a verse later? Therefore, God gave them up. Therefore, God gave them up. That is why the Pharisees do not praise. That is why their hearts have become stiff and calloused. That is why they don't worship. That is why they're so stern instead of glad. But the Lord must be praised. He is worthy of all praise. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. If you don't give thanks to God, who will? Okay, quiet them down, Jesus said. No, quite the contrary. If these don't give praise, the very rocks will cry out because God will be praised. We serve a risen Savior. Death is defeated. Sin is solved. We are God's sons and daughters. We are his heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Our joy should reflect this. Are we not here today for a service? Okay, we call it a service. Why is it called a service? Because we are here to minister unto the Lord. We are here to serve the Lord. We are here to worship the Lord. Our joy should be in keeping with that. One last little glimpse of something in the scriptures, last chapter of Luke. Just wanted you to see. It sort of jumped out at me this week. Luke 24, verse 50. This is how Luke ends his gospel. This is the apostles on the day they saw Jesus go back up into heaven. This is how he ends. Luke 24, 50 says, he led them out to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him. They worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Oh, my friends, use your voice. Give glory to God. Prophet Hosea says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Understand? Take words. Use words. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer to you the fruit of our lips. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Praise be to you, O Lord God, our heavenly Father, for you were and are and evermore shall be our King, our Maker, our Redeemer, our Lord and God, the Most High and Holy One. Praise your name this glorious day. We thank you for the fellowship that we have here. We ask, Lord God, that your Spirit would be upon us, that you would open our mouths to praise, that we would live lives of praise, that it would spill over out of us, Lord God, so that people would see that we are new, we are changed, we are in love with you. We want others to come to know our joy. And we ask, dear Father, that you would accept our praise this day. And we do offer it, Lord God, with glad and sincere hearts in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Amen.